coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsored Studios. This is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
It's Carl and Crew. We're up and running here.
Yeah, we are.
We're a week into the construction on the Kennedy, and we're a week late already. How'd you say that?
Oh, Di, tell him.
The super Di, tell me how you said that.
How did I? I was like,
you just said
it's a week into construction and we're a week like
we're a week behind.
We're a week behind schedule.
Behind, yeah.
Come on now.
I'm sorry, but that is too funny. You know, funny. To be honest with you, here's the problem for DOT. Is that who's doing this?
Yeah.
Okay, so DOT, they got a challenge with this.
They do.
It's called bureaucracy, man.
Well, oh, yeah.
There is so... Can you imagine how many regulations there are to put out one orange cone out on the freeway?
I'm sure a lot. I mean,
come on. Allotted.
And now they're putting out... By the way, do you notice they're putting concrete barriers down?
Well, I warned you last week that that's going to start coming.
So are they going to pull up those suckers in November, supposedly? Is that what they're going
to
do?
Seems to be the case.
Wow. Do you know how much this construction job's costing the feds? It's a fed job, right? No. Somebody tell me if the Kennedy's fed or state funded. It's got to be federally funded.
That'd be interesting.
No.
312-274-9624. I'm not going to make us guess in here. We don't know.
No.
Is that Kennedy job? It's got to be fed funded.
I'll check and see if I can find it.
I don't know if it is. That's a tollway. We might own that sucker.
And I think within the project dates, too, I think they do allow four so-called postponed dates, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Snow days, weather days.
Well, we're past
whatever.
Those already. Already had three rains.
Weekend, week late. I think that's what I said. Weekend, week late.
Yep.
So what is it, Boom Crew? Give us a hand. Is that state funds or federal funds on the Kennedy inbound? 312-274-9624. Okay, somebody just said, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal. Let me just tell you something right there. Somebody's being a clown here this morning.
Yes.
That ain't how the Holy Spirit works. If it was, everybody would get an A on a physics exam.
That's right.
It's not the way we roll here. Okay, it's Carl and Crew Mornings here. If you got some feedback on that one, love to get it. Get those thumbs going here. Is this thing federally funded or state funded, the inbound Kennedy? I got another question for you, though, Super Dan. This is an important one.
Oh. Okay.
Did you know what day it is today? Do not look down at the run sheet. Do not look down.
March 27th.
It's National What Day today. You can't look down.
And I'm the one that typed it in.
You typed it in.
That's so funny.
You typed it in. Don't look down.
I'm not. You can see. I'm being
right.
Honest.
Yeah,
I'm
you're
looking
up.
I'm looking up.
Come
I'm
on,
thinking,
take a guess. It's National What Day. You typed it into our run sheet.
Be Kind Day?
No.
No?
Well, we should do that every day.
Okay. That should be every day. Don't just pick one day out of the year for that one.
Okay. So that's 364 National Be a Jerk Days. Is that what that means?
National Goofball Day?
Yeah.
That was last week.
So what is today? National Scribble Day.
Oh.
Scribble Day.
Now, yes. Everybody scribbles.
Well,
scribble.
Not everybody does. Allie's a scribbling crazy lady.
I scribble. You don't
scribble?
You scribble too?
Yeah, you can't read my writing.
No, I mean not writing. I know your writing's poor. I'm talking to you scribble.
You know,
scribble,
like,
and writing
doodle,
poorly are different.
Scribble, like,
aren't
drawing?
They different? Yeah, they're
like
different.
Drawing?
Yeah.
I always scribble was always defined as, like, you know, coloring outside of the lines in your coloring book. You're scribbling.
Yeah.
I would be a big scribbler when I was a kid, for sure.
Yeah, I wasn't a big scribbler. I used to draw dog sleds. That's all I knew.
Oh, really?
Dog sleds and dogs with the lines going to the dogs.
That's what you knew.
They just, all over and over and over again. Just draw them.
Those things really, those dogs really lived in your head. Like, you just thought about them all the time.
727526, thank you. My police friend says it's state funded.
Ah, okay.
Oh, okay.
That's great.
$150 million.
You know what's a bummer about that? State funded. So some guy that lives out there in Timbuktu right now, you just need to know.
Who ain't got nothing to do with the Kennedy.
Your dollars are hard at work in town here.
You're welcome.
That's an expensive. One of those cones out there alone must cost $500 a year for a rental.
Those poor cones.
Yeah, I mean, man, there's a lot of those things, too.
One of those orange cones.
And a few of them get
dinged up.
Dinged, yeah.
Slightly dented.
I'll tell you what, man, there's a lot of work going on out there. Keep it safe, guys. Okay, yeah. So it's National Scribble Day. What's this got to do with anything spiritual?
I have no idea.
What if I told you there's a huge link between scribbling and spiritually growing?
Okay.
Oh, okay.
It's not a reach, but I'll give it to you. Coming up straight ahead.
Everything you need to start your day right. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Hey, Button Man, what you doing in there?
Oh, you know, just hitting the wrong buttons every now and then. Hit the wrong one.
Keeping you on your toes.
You hit my wrong buttons every now and then. It's National Scribble Day, and we're talking about some important stuff here. This, I was excited to come in here this morning and mention to you. And I'm going to challenge you guys, and I'm going to do something at 180 Chicago. After COVID, we did not get back to it. I knew that this was important, and I'm getting back to it. If you're a member of 180 Chicago, you are going to see something different next Sunday.
Hmm.
Okay.
What are they going to see?
I used to hand out golf pencils to everyone that came in.
Okay.
And the reason that we handed out golf pencils is due in largest part to this fact. There's a brand new study. I've got multiple studies up here, but there's a brand new study that shows stronger brain activity after writing on paper than on tablet or smartphone.
Yes.
And there's not even, it's not even close between information retention, between not note-taking at all and writing it down on paper. Now, you might say, well, does that mean that you've got to hold on? No, you don't even have to hold on to this paper. If you hold on to it for a little bit and then discard that thing, it's going to be amazing. Let me give you, hang on here a second. Let me get a study out for you.
Okay.
A study of Japanese university students and recent graduates has revealed that writing on physical paper can lead to more brain activity when remembering the information an hour later. Researchers say that the unique, complex, spatial, and tactile information associated with writing by hand on physical paper is likely what leads to improved memory.
I could see that.
This is huge stuff. There's another study that came out. This is a couple of years ago. Karen James of Indiana University evaluated children who hadn't yet learned to read or write, and they found out through, and this is published in Trends of Neuroscience and Education, that writing actually, in engaging children in writing, actually brought more fluidity to their brain and retention of things that they were attempting to learn. Handwriting makes a difference. Journal of Educational Psychology says direct correlation between recall weeks after writing it down versus not writing it down at all. Hmm. And the list goes on and on. Pam Mueller from Princeton and Daniel Oppenheimer from UCLA teamed up in a paper that was with the title in, let me get the title here. Boy. Pen is mightier than the keyboard in psychological science. Three experiments they did led them to conclude that using laptops for note-taking might actually impair learning. Why? Because it often leads people to process information more shallowly. This is a big deal, guys.
It is a big deal.
This is big deal.
Well, because most of our way of doing things, even for me as someone who does prefer to write on paper, I tend to just type it out on my phone because it's right there. It's easier to grab than a pen and paper.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess you could build a case. If you look at things on your phone, you want to go back and look at it later. That's great.
Sure.
But guys, I got to tell you, there is no substitute. Science doesn't lie.
It does not.
There is no substitute for writing this stuff down. So I want to throw a question out that's really different, but really fun.
All right.
And that is, do you take notes at church? And how do you utilize those notes? Or do you just pitch them out? Do you go review them again? And how does this work for you? Does it help you to take notes? Now, this is pretty anecdotal. We don't have any scientific study going on here, but I want to know. Because, listen, we're as practical as this here, guys. If we've got to start handing out half-sheet flyers and golf pencils again at 180 Chicago in every church in town, we will.
Absolutely.
I'm not preparing my booty off on a message only to have this thing go in one ear and out the proverbial other.
Absolutely. We want the word of God to stick in your mind. I mean, throughout the week.
I get jealous for this. And do you know how many messages I've walked out of going, wow, that was good. And by the time I hit the end of the parking lot, I can't remember what it was.
Absolutely. 100%. I do the same thing.
Well, what's going on with that?
Well, I mean, a lot of churches now, too, do away completely with the bulletin. You used to get that bulletin when you walked in. The back page was for taking notes, was you're to follow along with the sermon. You don't see that at all.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Rarely.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's good. Now, I know I'm sounding like an old guy. I get that. But I do happen to know, by the way, because I've got a very young son who is big on getting pen to paper. He doesn't do any digital journaling anymore. He does
sense.
It all in handwriting because he says it's a major heart-head connection that you have. And he says the science is out there, and I've pulled up some of it here today. So let me ask you this question. Are you taking notes when you're studying the Word of God or listening to a message at church? How do you use them, and is it helping you? 312-274-9624. Give me a call right now. 312-274-9624. The science says it helps.
No energy? No problem. We have all the energy you need and more. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Coming out of the shoot on the 6 o'clock hour is something really important here. And I mean this. I want you to grow up in your relationship with God. What if we're missing a golden opportunity because we're not putting pen to paper or pencil to paper? Think about this, guys. Super Die, you said it. Back old school.
Yeah.
We used to remember the bulletins. Now, if you're young and you go, what's a bulletin?
Go
back to bed. Go back to bed. I don't want to talk to you right now. No, I'm good with that. You need to know that the bulletin was a really cool thing because it had, sometimes it was on the back, sometimes there was an insert.
Right.
And sometimes the insert would have two pages, front and back, and notes.
Fill in the blank. Yes.
It was fill in the blank. Remember, what's the key word? We used to guess it as
Pay
a kid.
Attention. So great. My church still does this.
They do?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I got to tell you, I think this is important.
It is. I think it's a great tool.
Because here's the deal. I don't want to be up there dishing up the word on a Sunday that I prepare my tail off for, only to have that come in one ear and out the other. And by the way, well-meaning people can let stuff evaporate from their brains. So we've got these studies out. And the reason I got into this today, it's kind of around McCready's barn here, but it's National Scribble Day. And that got me thinking, what kind of retention do you have when you're actually writing notes as opposed to not taking them or even plugging them into a laptop? Science says radical difference. I'll get back to that study in a moment. First, Lynn in Lake Villa, what do you say, sister?
Hey, good morning, Carl and crew.
Good morning.
I say that I'm a note taker for sure. I take notes when the pastor's preaching, and then I've got a spiral notebook. And then during the week when I'm taking my Bible time, I also use that same notebook to take notes. And then on Monday morning, that's today, so I'm really looking forward to it. Monday morning, I read back through my previous week. In other words, what I read, studied last Monday all the way through yesterday's sermon.
That's cool.
And that's kind of like my devotionals. Yeah. And it's a nice way to remember it twice, too.
Does your church provide outlines? Don't tell me what church it is because I'm not trying to bust anyone out here, but do they provide half sheet flyers or anything like that to write notes on, or you do that on your own?
Well, because I have my spiral notebook, but yes, our church still uses the back of the bulletin.
They do. Nice. Interesting.
And there's no outline. No outline, though. No outline. Usually a little synopsis of the sermon at the top.
Okay.
And maybe
but
the verses that it covers. Yeah.
Places for notes. Yeah, I like that, though. That's really cool. Post-COVID, you know, I was doing that down at 180 Chicago. In fact, I got golf pencils and handed those out. You can buy golf pencils by the bucket
please.
Loads, right?
Yeah.
And those are good things because people walk in and how many times you walk into a place and it's like, I don't have a pen or a paper.
Exactly.
Or a pencil.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
But does this help? 312-274-9624. Does writing notes, sermon notes, study notes, Does it help? We're getting a lot of feedback on text messages here as well. Somebody said, yeah, I actually write into my Bible, my notes. By the way, some of you might be thinking, oh, can we do that? You can. I check with God. He's good with it. It's just ink on paper, folks. Yes, I know that we can sometimes make it holy, but there's the only thing that's holy is the words of the word. And that's spoken. But yeah, get down notes. Kevin in Earlville, what do you say about taking notes, man?
Good morning, Boom Crew. Yeah, what we do is we do something called a soap. And I do take scripture notes every Sunday. And then I can go through and go out the week like the other lady does and out the year and find how I've grown. But we do something called soap. It's you read the scripture, you observe it, and you apply it in your life, and you pray it. The way you do scripture is you read through it, then you observe it by writing it down. What God told you to write down, you write it down, and you apply it to your life. Then you pray it through, and then you go back throughout the year and find out how you've grown in your life for that. And we do have bulletins, the whole script. And then every week of the night of the church week, we have a place we can meet and study the scripture we did last Sunday. So we have virtually six opportunities to study
scripture. I love that. Kevin, thanks for calling in today. That's why we call you the Boom Crew right there.
Absolutely.
Two great calls. So if you get some feedback on this one, I'd like to know. This is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the person who didn't take notes, started taking notes, and it changed their ability to apply the Word of God. 312-274-9624. Are you that person? You didn't take notes. You began taking notes, and oh my goodness, you're retaining this stuff and you're applying it to your life. 312-274-9624.
Going deeper in our relationship with Jesus. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
You know, I'll tell you a quick little story here. As a pastor, I see a lot of different kind of postures toward the Word of God, right? And by the way, I don't sit there judging it, but you see stuff. You see people getting up and walking around. You see people, you know, grabbing at their schnozzoli. You see stuff. And one of the things that I've seen, not only in me, but in other people, is that there seems to be a direct correlation between people that are young and zealous for the Lord and the amount of notes that they take versus those that have been in Christ a long time. Can kind of begin to kind of think, maybe I've heard that before. The danger with this is that we miss something that the Holy Spirit might be wanting to say to us at any given moment. And we're on something today that was kind of born out of this. It's National Scribble Day, in case you were wondering here. And, you know, I got to thinking, hold here a second. Have we missed something in the church? And our goal here is to help you take your next step with Jesus. What if I told you one of the most tangible, practical things that I could give you today would be to ask you, start taking notes, handwritten notes of what you're learning.
Great.
Now, here's why we do this. I mean, you were saying that the kids are learning in a way that James and everyone you know has the same kind of learning method in school. I don't know that this is working. Listen to this.
Well, right, because back in the day, I mean, we did all our note-taking in class. I mean, your hand went numb from trying to keep up all day long taking notes in every class.
I remember listening to profs in college, and some of these guys, we would say things like, slow down.
Exactly.
And we had one prof say, why? Because you're going to test us on this content and we aren't getting it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And 99% of the time, those notes were taken in cursive.
Right.
Well, now notes aren't even taken anymore. Basically, the notes are almost hand given to them. It's in a document that's found on their tablet.
Electronic. It's not
electronic
even handed
tablet.
To them.
Yeah. It's a document that's found and it's got some fill in blanks, and that's how they take notes in class.
Fill in blanks,
they just kind of fill in the blanks as they follow along.
Okay.
How
And I don't
know
that there's good retention. I wonder if this is why we're kind of slipping with regard to some of the comparative educational studies that we have
against writing skills,
national Chinese and the like. So, all right, coming up here in a moment, Young Thunder found a study from Oxford. This thing is very important. Hang on, we'll give it to you.
Whether it's number one or 100, take that step with Jesus today. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
This is a big deal for me today that's happening here, guys. If it's just for me alone and for 180 Chicago, I'm okay with that, but I don't think it is. I think there's a lot of you cogitating on this one. Now, let me just back up. Our goal is to help you take your next step with Jesus. That's where our goal is here. I want you to take hold of what God has for you so badly. And could it be that one of the most simple but simply profound things we could do is to challenge you to begin writing out notes, journaling notes. If you're listening to the Bible on audio, don't try to write down as the narrator's saying, in the beginning, God created. No, don't do that. But maybe you have a pencil and pen that goes, whoa, Spirit of God's prompting me with this truth.
Yes.
Because Bible on tape is great, or listening to Dwell is great, but science proves putting pen to paper gives us much higher retention on what we're trying to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were looking up that it is better. And I wanted to know, you know, why is writing better than typing?
You did a deep dig there.
Yeah. And so Oxford Learning wrote an article about this, and they said, when students take notes by hand, it develops a stronger conceptual understanding than by typing. Since handwriting is slower and more tedious, it makes it harder to take notes verbatim. Therefore, students have to actually process the information and summarize it in a way that makes sense to them. So while you're writing, because it's slower, your mind actually has to do a lot of processing in order to get it all down onto the paper. Typing, you hit a button and the letter is created. Writing, you have to do the pen strokes for each individual letter, making it harder, making your brain process more.
This is so good. I got to tell you guys, this is, you know, we ought to do a chart here of what would the chart be called? How to internalize truth and make it part of the whoop and wharf of your life. That's a long article title, but I'll tell you right now, one is you got to hear it. Second one is you got to write it down.
Yeah.
Third is you got to revisit what you've written down. Fourth is, and I don't know if this is fourth one, but give it away.
Absolutely.
One of the greatest things that I've ever seen done in marriage counseling, and I try to do this not just in marriage counseling, but in life, is repeat back to your spouse what you just heard them say. That's a tactic that is commonly used, and it works.
Yes.
You know why? Because Goober over here, who hasn't listened to his wife in 20 years, now has to start listening because he's asked to repeat back what she just said.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So Goobois has no more excuses here. It's a great thing.
Amen.
Guys, I'm sorry for rambling on this so much today, but this is a big one for me. You got a comment on this? Love to hear from you. 312-274-9624. 312-274-9624. And some of you are like, are we really talking about taking? Yeah, we're talking about taking notes. It's National Scribbling Day. And my bride is good on this one. But I'm gonna talk about this one with her today when I get home.
I bet she loves this one though.
Oh no, she's an artist.
Exactly.
So artists process by putting pen to paper sure.
Scribble, doodle, all that good stuff.
Yeah, but I gotta tell you, there is every one of us benefit from this. Let me give you one quick shot here. A study of Japanese university students, this came out March 19th, 2021. Study of Japanese university students and recent graduates has revealed that writing on physical paper can lead to more brain activity when remembering the information an hour later. Researchers say that the unique, complex, spatial, and tactile information associated with writing by hand on physical paper is likely what leads to improved memory. Forget the Prevagen. Put pen to paper.
Right?
That's right.
Isn't it Prevagen that's the memory drug that they're peddling out there? You got a comment on this. I'd love to hear it. Any thoughts? 312-274-9624. I promised a half an hour ago we'd get the longest parable in the Bible. We will. That's coming up. 312-274-9624.
Don't just keep it to yourself. Give what you've heard to a friend with the Carl and Crew Showcast. Just go to carlandcrew.org.
It's Carl and Crew Mornings here. Let's get Kathy in Chicago. What do you think about taking notes, Kathy?
I would have loved to have my teacher print out the notes for me,
I was a student with ADD as a child, and I remember trying so hard to focus and getting the notes written down, and the teacher, I would be on paragraph one and she would be on paragraph three.
I know what you're saying.
So, yeah. I mean, I just, as I got older, it was starting to get a little easier, but to have something where I could fill in the blanks and then have an extra, you know, maybe a highlighter or something to highlight certain topics.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely, Kathy. Yeah. Kathy, thanks for calling in. You know what? ADHD, ADD, there's a lot of folks that if you would have diagnosed them back in the 60s,
yes,
maybe your friend Carl would have been diagnosed with this. I've got one of the most brilliant, I know a ton of brilliant people with ADHD.
Absolutely.
By the way, it's not paralyzing. It's actually a sign of somewhat genius.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of genius
people.
A lot
of really creative people struggle with that. But having that tactile movement where you're having to put pen to paper and fill in blanks or write out notes, look at me, take a little bit longer.
Absolutely.
It's beneficial, man. So here's the takeaway from this hour. Get out a pen and paper. And by the way, I want to encourage you, use the margin of your Bibles if you have to. Write them up, man. You know, when that Bible gets filled with notes, get another one.
Yeah. Yeah.
No
Very
joking.
True. Very
I
true.
Mean, use this stuff, guys. All right, coming up here in a moment, longest parable, and what in the world is Jesus communicating? It might shock you.
Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsored Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
Good Monday morning to you, Boom Crew. We love you guys. Excited that God is at work in your life. There's some of you that are brand new, born again. We keep getting feedback from people all the time that it's just so encouraging. A lot of age continuum here in Christ. But wherever we are today, I want you to know that our goal for you is to help you take your next step with Jesus. We want you to rock and roll in your relationship with God. So I got a question for you guys, and I want to pitch it to you very directly. Why do some people take risk spiritually and others not?
Take risk spiritually in what kind of way?
Well, we're called to walk by faith, and John Piper loves to say that faith is risk and risk is faith. And if you're going to walk by faith, there's a certain level of risk involved no matter what.
Yeah. I think that some people take, I don't think anyone's inclined to take the risk. I think that that is a power of the Holy Spirit kind of thing.
Okay.
But I think that there are a lot of people who are afraid.
Yeah.
To take risk, and fear gets in the way and holds us back. You know, the don't let fear hold you back. You know, it stops us from doing what we're called to do sometimes.
You know what? You just nailed it, dude.
Yeah.
No, you just nailed it.
Yeah.
And I want to get into something here in a moment, Boom Crew, that is the longest parable Jesus ever told. And fear's at the middle of this thing. And then I'm going to blow away some misconceptions about fear. We're going to get into this whole deal coming up here. I hope you can stay on. We've got the longest parable Jesus ever told, and it is a good one. And it illustrates something profound. It illustrates how dangerous fear really is, but it also leads us to other scripture, because scripture interprets scripture. And it will show us how to deal with fear. If you woke up at all today feeling like, man, I'm fearful about some things. Or if you felt like this, man, I just don't have enough faith. We're about to blow both of those out of the water with some scriptural truth. That's coming up.
Going from believers of Jesus to followers of Jesus. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
I'll tell you what, God is an abundance God. Now, I always want to moderate that, because I know you get these late night charlatans that are saying, send us $100, we'll send you this prayer cloth back, and maybe you'll get $1,000.
Right.
That stuff is out of the pit.
It's not.
It's just
not
garbage, man. This is rub-a-dub-dub. Jesus is your genie here, and that's just not biblical. Now, we got to be careful with this, guys, because sometimes we pendulum swing because we don't even want to be associated with that. And I've done that before. I want to make a big confession to you here today. I have veered clear of even words like success and prosperity in Joshua 1:9.
Yeah.
Joshua 1:8, I think. Look that up for me. Joshua 1:8 or Joshua 1:9.
I think it's 1:9.
But it's, and then in Psalm 1, verse 3, I've veered away from those things because it just kind of, something doesn't sound right. Is it 1:9?
1:9, yeah. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
No, it's not 1:9. So back up. It's 1:8.
That 1:8?
Didn't have success or prosperity in it. Did it?
No, I thought I, oh yeah. Okay. It is 1:8. Yep. Then you'll be prosperous and successful.
Okay. So, you know, I've veered away from those words in the past because I remember as a kid watching, I won't get into the name of it. There's no need for that, but it was a nationally televised thing and it embarrassed me for the gospel because it was embarrassing and it was all about, you know, big hair and big cars. And yeah. I'm like, if God isn't, I know plenty of guys with big hair and big cars that aren't walking strong in peace with God.
Absolutely.
Like, come on, man, there's gotta be more than that. So be careful here because you don't want to throw the proverbial baby out with the bathwater. And so God is a God of abundance. And we know that to be true because when he's illustrating who is fit for the kingdom of God, and this is a serious parable he tells, it's the longest one that we find in scripture. He's illustrating, and this is important to note because this isn't about, well, let me give you the story and then I'll break it down what it's all about. He's talking about a man going away on a journey and he's asked his servants to come on in. He says, listen, I want to give some property to you and I want you to take charge of it. And he gave 5 talents. To one, he gave 2 talents to another, and he gave 1 talent to another. Now, let me break it down here. This story is really important. The word talent does not mean talent, like juggling and dancing and flying and that kind of stuff.
Yes. Sure.
It's not that. Well, a lot of people think it is. It's because you're looking at the word, and the word says talent. But it's a term that illustrates a weight or a measurement, and it had to do with gold or silver. And so in the Hebrew, it meant a talent was 75 pounds. In the Greek, a talent was 88 pounds. So this is some good information.
Wow. Yeah, that's
here
good
today.
To know.
Now, the guy who got 1 talent, I've heard people say this, that, oh, man, that guy, he just got 1 little talent. No, guys, it was 20 years wages.
Yeah.
It was the equivalent modern day to between $400,000 and $500,000. That's a lot of dough.
Doing okay.
So the talent that was entrusted to all these guys, some of them were given a lot, some were given just one, but it was still a ton of dough. Now, what's going on here that's really important in this text, and I love this, is that the guy with 5 reinvested it and he had 5 more. The guy with 2 invested it and he had 2 more. So they were willing to take risk. What caused 2 of them to take risk and 1 of them not to? Let me give you the word. You ready for this? Fear. The guy with 1 comes back and the master comes back after being gone on a journey. And he said to his servants, what do you got? The 5 says, I got 5 more. Right on. Well done, good and faithful servant. You want to hear well done, good and faithful servant? This is the proof text for it right here. The one that had 2 doubled it up, got 2 more. Well done, good and faithful servant. The one that had 1, all he had to do was go and invest it. Instead, he buried it. He says, man, I knew that you reaped where you did not sow, and you, man, you're in this case, you're God.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus is illustrating here. And he's saying that fear actually is one of the greatest indicators that someone may not be in authentic connection with God. Hmm. Now, I'm going to break this down coming up here in a minute because the real question that we got to deal with here, if we want to be in the pocket in our relationship with God, we've got to let fear get dealt with in our life. And some of you have thought that the opposite of fear is faith. No, it's not. The opposite of fear is not faith.
Yeah.
And I'm going to prove it to you from the scriptures. We're going on a little Bible study journey this morning.
Let's do it.
Here to help with your spiritual spring cleaning. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
I got to tell you guys, this is reality, and I am going to give you the gospel here, and it's also going to apply to your life, whether you're in Christ or never been in Christ. I'm going to give you some great hope here. we were just checking this out in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. It's a long parable, the longest told by Jesus, where he's talking about three different stewards. Stewards are people that are responsible for caring for something entrusted to them. It's a person who manages another's property. And Jesus explained that the kingdom of God is like a master of a ranch who's going away, and he says, I'm going to leave you some property here. And the story goes on to say he gave five talents, which was a big sum of money. It was a lot of value. Would have been 20 years' wages to those that he's talking to. When he's telling this story, it's 20 years' wages for a working man. $400,000 to $500,000 today, one talent. So he gave five to one, and that guy, he invested it and had five more, so he had 10. He gave two to another. He invested it. He had four when the master came back. He gave one talent. And some people go, yeah, he just had one little talent. Now, a talent was huge, guys. It's 20 years' wages. But that guy, out of fear, buried it. So fear is the issue. If fear is keeping you from being a fruitful steward, dealing with your fear is a really good success strategy. And there's some of you that maybe get up and you're like, man, yeah, I am just, fears grip me. Well, there's an answer for that. And I'm going to give it to you right now. I'm not going to wait. 1 John 4, if you've been in Christ for any length of time at all, you know that perfect love casts out fear. A lot of us think that the opposite of fear is faith. We're going to disavow that right now. This is not about more faith. You know what fixes fear? Love. Listen to this. 1 John 4. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. Whoa. So the way you get connected with God and overcoming the fear of concern of being separated from him eternally is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. So I just want to sit here for a moment and just tell you right now, you might have come here this morning and you have a certain amount of fear in your life. Maybe you have a fear about what's going to happen when you die. And that's why Jesus told this story. He said, the kingdom of God is like this. And here's what I want to tell you. Fear can hold you back from the kingdom of God. But what fear can do to separate you from God for eternity, love can do more. The love of Jesus Christ, for those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, you abide in him, and now you're cultivating a brand new relationship with the one who created you. And I just got to do a timeout here. We'll get back to how this applies to those of you that are in Christ in just a moment, but I just need to tell you, if you've never before surrendered your life to Jesus, today is the day. God can strike fear from your soul right now. He can take it away. And I'm here to tell you that all the world systems that are out there, none of them can strike fear from you. They can medicate fear. They can prolong or kind of push fear away for a season, but it's going to come back. And I'm just asking you, do you know where you are going when you die? If the Lord were to come back today, do you know that you would be with him, or does it strike fear into you? And if it does, I want you to give your life to Jesus today. Why? Because I want you to experience the love of Christ. Perfect love casts out fear. It's the love of Christ that bridges that gap between where you stand today and where you know you can stand with God for eternity. And if that's you, and you want an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, you've just got to come to know and believe the love that God has for us. That's 1 John 4:16. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Don't you want that? I know you do. And just right now, in this moment, just say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and today I'm ready to confess and admit. I've been afraid to do it, but today I'm ready to confess and admit I'm a sinner, and I need someone to save me, and I'm asking you to save my soul. I want to abide in you. I want to have that love of Jesus that casts out fear. And I'm ready to give my life to you today completely, 100%. I'm not holding back. Just say that 100%, not holding back. I give it all to you. I admit I'm a sinner, but you died for me. And you're alive today, and I know it because you're speaking to me. And if that's you, if that's the cry of your soul today, welcome to the family. And you feel fear lifting from you right now. That's what's real. You feel fear lifting. You feel the love of Jesus Christ flooding your heart right now. Praise God. If that's you, just text the word welcome to us. Get to the side of the road. Pull to the side of the road right now. Don't delay. Just text the word welcome to us. I got a little quick start guide of where you go now in your relationship with God. If that's you, just get to the side of the road right now and text the word welcome. Welcome. Just that one word, welcome, to 312-274-9624. Come on, let's go. Just text the word welcome to 312-274-9624. Perfect love casts out fear. The love of Jesus is being extended to you this morning. Just text the word welcome to 312-274-9624. Some of you are wondering, why in the world did I tune into this station this morning? This is why, right now. This is it. Just text that word welcome. Just get to the side of the road. I'll say that number one more time because some of you, when you respond with welcome, some of you have never texted us before. Text the word welcome to 312-274-9624. 9624. Let's get eternity resolved right now.
New to the show? We're glad you're here. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
All right, 7:37 is the time. Thanks for holding on here, guys. Really cool. Welcome to the family. So many surrendering to Christ this morning. It caught me off guard a little bit here, but man, sometimes the scriptures just take you right there and you got to go there, right, guys?
That's Amen. It. Follow the Holy Spirit lead.
That's right.
Go.
Okay, let me break this down. I'm going to stick with the word here for a second. 1 John 4:15-21. John, the apostle, he's a writer of five books. Count them, five: the Gospel of John, 1, 2, 3 John, and the Book of Revelation. Tertullian says, he's one of the early church fathers. Check out the date on Tertullian. When was he around? I want to say 1st century, maybe 2nd. Am I wrong?
We'll check on that for you.
We'll check that out. Tertullian said that John was actually dunked in boiling oil near a gate in Rome, and that he came out unscathed. Church tradition has it that way. It's not in the Bible, but Tertullian said that. What's the date on him?
About 155 AD to 220.
Okay, there we go. So Tertullian said that, and then he said that following that dunking in oil and coming out unscathed, he actually then went to the island of Patmos, where he received a download from God, from Jesus, for the Book of Revelation, which is an amazing thing. So he's writing here in 1 John, and he says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And if you're new following Jesus this morning, welcome to the family. So cool.
Yes.
Many of you surrendered to Christ today.
I love it.
So we have come to know and to believe that the love of God is for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we are in this world. Now he goes on to say this, check this out. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So what's the answer for fear, according to 1 John? According to John, what's the answer for fear?
The love of God.
The love of God. Now, a lot of us have said for a long time, oh, man, you know, if you have fear, you just don't have enough faith. That is absolutely bogus. Let me be super clear here. The answer for fear that you have in your life today, man, I'm feeling somebody needs this. Is this you? The answer for fear in your life isn't more faith. Thinking that you need more faith is a man-centered gospel. Faith is not the object of our hope. Faith is the product of Jesus Christ shining his love into our heart. It's all about Jesus.
Yeah.
The faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain. It's not the amount of our faith that drives out fear. It's the object of our faith that drives out fear.
I love that.
Jesus drives out fear.
Yes.
We don't drive out fear. No. Jesus does this. So the answer, the greatest answer for your fear is more love of Jesus in your life. Coming up here in a moment, I want to illustrate this. With a little girl named Roshni. She's the daughter of Ajit and Katie Christopher, who are on our staff at 180 Chicago, and I'm going to illustrate this in a very practical way. Just know this right now. If you're struggling with fear, I want you to disavow yourself that you need more faith. No, you don't need more faith. The object of your faith is Jesus. You need more love of Jesus today.
Helping you take the next step in your walk with Jesus. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
So we've been in Matthew 25. We find the master is going away and he gives his servants stewardship of his wealth. He gives 5 talents to one, 2 to another, 1 to another. The one with 5 doubles it up. He's bold, man. He goes out and I'm going to invest this and I'm going to take care of it. And boom, gives it away, invests it, brings back, has 10. The 2 turns to 4 and the 1 buries it. Why? Fear gripped him. Now, this parable's talking about eternity, and ironically, he's saying fear actually can keep you from God with eternity. But that can be bridged by one thing. Scripture interprets Scripture. We go to 1 John 4, and we know this. Perfect love casts out fear. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to do with punishment. And John says the answer for fear is love. So let me just rehearse this again. The answer for your fear isn't more faith. That is one of the great fallacies roaming around out today. Boy, if I've got fear, I've got to have more faith. I've got to have more faith. I've got to have more faith. I've got to have more. No, don't try to conjure up more faith. That is not the object of what God is calling you to do at all. The faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain. Here's what I'd say. You wake up this morning and you go, I've got fear in my heart about things in life. Okay. That happens. I get that. I get this as well. You know what I have to do and you know what you have to do today? You scrape together all the faith you have, and you may not have much, but you scrape it together. You get that little dustpan pile, and maybe your dustpan's like so small, you scrape it up, and then you place all that faith in Jesus. You say, Carl, I don't have much faith. Fine. The faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain. You say, God, I don't have much faith, but I'm putting it all at the foot of the cross, putting it all in Jesus this morning. Let me tell you, that will help evaporate fear. Now, I'm going to prove this to you, and then we're going to have a passage of Scripture that's going to tell you how to build this love relationship with God. Not build your faith, build love. Because the answer for your fear isn't more faith. The answer, the greatest answer for your fear is more love. Let me illustrate this. So Roshni's a little girl. She's super bright. She's a precious little girl. I love this little girl. She's just dynamite. Love little Roshni. When she was like 1, just getting to be 1.5 or so, I would walk into church and I'd go, hey, Roshni, it's Uncle Carl. And she would immediately point to one of her parents, either her daddy or her mom, and she'd point at them and she'd go, Mom, and she'd run to her mom away from me. And she would run to her mom.
Yeah.
Well, that's to be expected.
Right, but she's young.
But let me tell you what she got from her mama. She got so much love from Katie, and Katie began to talk to her and go, that's Uncle Carl. Uncle, do you remember? Yeah. That's Uncle Carl. Yeah. Well, guess what's happened? Over time now, I walk in to a room, and I go, Roshni. And now she walks up, hi.
Pastor Carl.
Yeah.
Hi, Uncle Carl. And she's waving at me from her stroller. Hi, Uncle Carl. Well, what's going on? She has garnered so much love from her mom and dad and confidence that she's gained from them that that love is casting out fear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's exactly what we find in 1 John 4.
Great example.
Perfect love casts out fear. So I'm just going to let that sit for a moment. Now, coming up straight ahead, I might give you an illustration from my own dad and how this worked with me. But here's the bottom line. There's one thing you've got to do in life. One thing. Fall in love with Jesus. And you know what? It's exactly what the Great Commandment says. Hang on.
Gotta go into work? Don't worry. Check out the Carl and Crew Showcast wherever you like to stream. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
The reason a lot of us are stuck in fear loops is because we've thought that we've got to get over this and we often need more faith. No, you do not. Why? Because it's not the amount of our faith that gives us freedom from fear. It's the object of our faith. And if the object of your faith is Jesus Christ, now you're on the right path. Scrape together all the faith you have, even if it's just a little bit. Scrape it together and put all your faith in Jesus. Why? 1 John 4. Perfect love casts out fear. And that's on the heels of an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. So isn't this something? That if your problem is fear, the answer is love. And then we find this in Mark 12. One of the scribes came up to him and heard him disputing with one another. And seeing that he had answered them well, speaking of Jesus, asked Jesus, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered. Here's his answer. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Let me illustrate it this way. When I was in Alaska and we had bad water, you know what we did with bad water?
What's that? What?
Boiled it.
Okay, yeah.
Boil it.
Yes, okay.
So if we had a stream that we were near and we were out camping, but it wasn't a fast moving stream and it could have some Giardia or something in it that was just not good and give you the trots, boil it, boil it, boil it, boil it. Sometimes people say boil it for 3 minutes. We'd bring it to a raging boil. I was out camping with my dad. We'd boil water, boil it. Why? Because impurities go into the mist. Now, I want you to take this spiritually. When your love for God and others comes to a boil, the fear of being fruitful stewards of your time, talent, and treasure that God dumps into your lap will evaporate. Fear evaporates in the boiling love that you have for God. That's why we're called to love Him.
Amen.
With heart, soul, mind, strength.
Yeah.
So if I give you anything today, it's this. Let your love for God come to a boil. What did Jesus say to the church of Ephesus in Revelation? He says, you have left your first love. I know all that you've done, but you've left your first love. The greatest gift you can give yourself. I don't care if you've been walking with Jesus 40, 50 years. We had someone text in here a moment ago, said, I've been walking with Jesus 50 years. I never have heard one time in my life that the answer for fear wasn't more faith, but that it's love. Well, praise God.
Amen.
Because Jesus had you here this morning, because it's not about Carl sharing this with you. It's the word of God. That's all I'm reading is the word. Let your love for Jesus come to a boil. Perfect love casts out fear. The closer you get to Jesus today, the more you give Him your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, the more you move toward Jesus, just like Roshni moved toward her mama when she was being greeted by Pastor Carl. And I'd say, Roshni, and she'd point at her mom. She'd go, mom, 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 and run over to mom. But now Roshni's love that she's received from Katie is now reeling Roshni out where she can now engage with me. Why? Because the fear of me is gone because she's getting love from her mama. See how this works, guys?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great, great story.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's that powerful. Yeah. God wants to do this in you today. Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listen to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.